All right, today we're talking about a pretty controversial topic. So we're talking about why Pokemon sucks, but we can fix it. Right, guys?
Absolutely.
Why Pokemon sucks and you should hate it.
So
get it again.
Let's give a quick background on what we've played in Pokemon and like how we currently think of the how it is right now. So
you're a real Pokemon fan, or
are you a real Pokemon fan? So I guess I played all of them, and I'd say I enjoyed most of them, but recently I've been getting extremely bored with the formula. The pacing is like dead to me. Like
what pacing?
Exactly. There's not really any pacing, and like for someone who's played all of them, the challenge isn't there. There isn't enough like challenge to keep me engaged. And I understand that it's like four kids, but there are things that they can do, I feel, to, you know, appeal to people of all skill levels. I mean, even as a kid, I didn't have trouble playing the game at all. You can just press A and win, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. Spoilers. What about you guys? What have you played?
Go ahead, Ryan. You can go second.
Poor Tyler goes on his rampage.
Yes.
I've played a game from each gen. I didn't play like the original Red, Blue, and Yellow. I played Fire Red, Leaf Green, and I played Soul Silver. But I have played each game from gens 1 through 8. Gen 5 is my favorite personally.
Cultured.
Thank you.
Based.
And I'm definitely not big on a lot of the stuff that Sword and Shield did, but Game Freak lets me down all the time, and yet I continue to hope. And I feel like what we saw in some of like there were glimmers of like, oh, this could work. We could do something here. It's just that it's not this game that you didn't figure it out this time, but maybe next time. Yeah, Sword and Shield definitely had some rough patches. It was way too easy. Running around in it was super linear. You're just making your way up an island. It's not very interesting. The wild area was kind of cool, but it was also limited.
Yeah, lost its novelty after like the first time you go through it for me.
Yeah, and what's unfortunate is like they didn't do anything like visually interesting with it. And I know like everyone makes fun of the graphics, and that's obviously a whole thing in and of itself. That's the meme. But like there are places in Sword and Shield that are genuinely like inspired and feel like, oh, I really like this area. You go into like the town with the fairy gym, and there's all the glowy mushrooms. That's super cool.
That was the coolest part.
You never go back.
The Ice City was cool too.
The Ice City was cool. You go to like that gang, the dark gym, which is just like a whole like spooky back alleyway. That place is super cool. Never go back. There's nothing to do there. It's just the gym. You go into that like glowy diamond gem cave. Super cool. You go through it once. You don't ever need to go back. Like
it's like a single.
I
think we're getting on a tangent here. Hold on.
We gotta let Tip tell us
his introduction here.
Just to wrap up my point is that the wild area itself, it was basic. They could have taken that inspiration in the wild area, and they didn't. And I wish they did. That's my point.
We almost started the entire episode just off of Ryan. So
he's so heated.
It's a bit of a meme within the friend group. But I famously hate Gen 4. And I quit playing Pokemon for years because of how much I despise Gen 4. Before that, I liked the games. Gen 4 is awful. Let's never speak of it again. And then I skipped Gens 5, 6, and then came back with 7. Because everyone else was playing it again. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'll come back and see what it's like. I've now gone back, and I haven't beaten them, but I have played Gens 5 and Gen 6. Gen 5, I wish I hadn't have missed, because that was actually pretty good. I wish I had like a real copy of that game so I could go through and play the entire thing.
The last 2D gen?
Yeah, Gen 6. Sure, yeah, whatever, it exists. Let's just ignore that one. Enjoyed Gen 7. And then Gen 8 kind of falls under, Gen 6, where you just exist. Sure, let's not talk about it. So I'm like, what, 50-50 on the series now?
That was better than I thought you were going to say.
Well, I mean, yeah. I have some pretty...
All day you were like, man, I can't wait to bash Pokemon.
Because I hate Gen 4 so much. I hate Gen 4. And that's the one they're remaking. And I'm just like, wow, I can't wait to hate this game again.
See, that's the one that was originally my favorite. But coming around back to Gen 4, I'm like, ooh, man. Because I played Heart Gold recently. And that's a lot of people's fan favorite. But I don't know, man. Something hit me different with that. But why don't we go through all the gens first and tell like what we liked, what we didn't like about it, and then we can kind of discuss what patterns Pokemon has been using as a whole.
Oh, yeah. Are we about to expose that we're Gen 1ers or something?
No, I don't think that's the case.
I'm not a Gen 1er. Honestly, looking at Gen 1, I don't understand how this...
So Gen 1, red, blue, yellow is what we're talking about. We're not talking about Fire, Red, Leaf, Green right now.
Yeah. The original... black and white Game Boy, super buggy, super broken, super unbalanced. What were they thinking? Every step of the way.
Okay. I'm just hold on. I'm not a Gen 1er, but I will defend Gen 1 because they fit all of that noise onto a Game Boy cartridge.
It shouldn't have worked. And it basically should
not
didn't.
Have worked. And is you tell me one Game Boy game that's better than Pokemon, Red, Blue, Yellow.
Are you serious?
That will really? Last you longer, that has more depth.
Oh, that will last you longer. But same, like it's Link's Awakening, obviously. But I mean, that game
was Link's Awakening Game Boy, not Game Boy Color.
The deluxe version is on Game Boy Color, but the original version is on Game Boy.
That's pretty impressive as well. Okay, never mind.
It is.
That is impressive. Okay, name another.
Tetris, dude. Obviously.
Tetris is a classic, but that's definitely like an arcadey kind of thing, not like a. It's not that deep, I would say. I mean, okay. Tetris fanboy is gonna like. execute me here.
I think you mean more like complexity of the game itself.
Yes, like, yeah.
Pokemon and Legend of Zelda have a lot of
like they have a plot and stuff.
I mean,
like,
yeah, they're plot like and narrative and like just a lot of stuff that you can fit onto a cartridge.
The creativity and like you can express yourself. And, well, not Link really, but
yeah. But I can't really think of anything besides those two games on Game Boy that are like show off that amount of complexity that could fit on that just
it's insane
abysmal cartridge where it had like 8 kilobytes.
So like I mean. For that reason, I can't really say anything too bad about it because of the limitations. I think it was definitely one of their stronger entries just because, well, one, it was the first one, and then two, you know, what they had to work with.
It shows all the potential of the series. Yeah,
it was the potential of the series.
Yeah.
And you know, that we're going to get to that.
I mean, it's an excellent first entry in a series or like in a franchise. Like most companies would kill to have a first entry that's that prolific and that famous. Yeah. And yeah, obviously, if you go back nowadays, it has issues and like the game's ugly to look at.
The balance effects are awful. Insane. There's no move pools.
It is aged really bad.
So
it is aged really poorly. But like at the time, it's a great product.
Yeah, you guys remember when I was doing my Nuzlocke and essentially we figured out that nobody learns any moves.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah,
they don't. Like learn pools are nothing. You essentially have to rely on TMs the entire game, the one use TMs that you barely get an ad.
I think every mon only learns it's legit like 8 moves,
it's
9 moves,
if that. Yeah. And like they're not even good moves usually,
and they usually start with 2 or 3 of those moves. So it's not there's insane. A whole lot of diversity in move pools and really just strategies in general. So
yeah, I mean it was cool to like build your team, but if you played it probably a few times, 3 or 4 times, you would probably start to realize that, wait a minute, something's a little fishy here. Because I don't remember, I played a decent amount of blue when I was young and yellow. I don't remember wanting to replay them all that much. I think I had like my one file, and like once I beat the game, like that was about it. I got Mewtwo and that was it, essentially.
Yeah,
you beat the game.
That's all you really could do anyway. There wasn't really any post game.
Not really. It's more just trade, battle with friends, stuff like that. If you know, had the link cables and everything and knew someone else that had it.
I had friends, and that's a hard thing to come by when you like Pokemon as a kid.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
So yeah, I mean, it seems like we're all in agreement that like Gen 1 isn't really good in hindsight, like if you play it back now. But at the time, it's just...
Absolutely.
It's impressive, yeah.
And that brings us to Gen 2. And they freaking put the entire game on top of another game.
Yeah.
So gold, silver, crystal. That's insane. I can't believe it is a much needed upgrade, I think.
Yeah, it was watching you play those games on your stream, it was definitely like you could immediately see how much of a step up it was.
The designs were fixed, essentially. They were more in line with, you know, what you would see in like the TV show and what they were meant to be, and like the cards.
Yeah, I was gonna say the media in general, like the cards of the TV show, any like manga or anything like that.
Crystal had those. Did Gold and Silver had sprite animations? They did too, right? I know Crystal had custom animations. I don't know if Gold and Silver did.
I don't think
they did. I think that started with Crystal.
Crystal, that was the coolest thing. I thought
that was like when they popped out, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think they still did just like the hop up and down in Gold and Silver.
Yeah, they just like the hop or something like that. But they actually had extra frames in Crystal, which was really cool. I'm pretty sure a lot of the move pools were a little fixed. The Pokemon diversity in Gold, Silver, Crystal is abysmal, though. I feel like you don't get like any Mons in that. Like you're pretty much stuck with like Quagsire, Red Gyarados, the legendary, your starter, and like two other random things. I can't really think of them off the top of my head, but I can't remember like much diversity.
I mean, we're gonna have that complaint for basically every gen.
Not every gen. Hold on.
Sword and Shield, you go into the wild area and there's lots of Pokemon there.
Yeah, I was okay. One of the next like four gens because 7 and 8
I feel like a lot of the later gens do really well with allowing you to diversify your team because, you know, did they just have so many Pokemon to work with at that point?
Yeah.
Anyway. But they didn't really...
2 was a big upgrade.
2 was a big upgrade. It was the smallest upgrade in terms of deck size. It was only 100-ish.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's still a pretty solid upgrade on top of the original 151.
Yeah. No, I mean, at the time, that definitely was, you know, they're saying we've almost doubled the Pokédex. You know, at the time, 150 Pokemon, that was so many. And then they're like, well, what about 250? And that's like, whoa.
Yeah. So that was really cool. And it was really cool that they added the entirety of the Kanto region, kind of. I mean, at the end of the game, which was an awesome post-game thing. And then, you, of course, go and fight right at the end, which was like, you know, one of the coolest boss fights. The problem with all of that is the balancing is so bad in Gold, Silver, Crystal. So you can't catch any Pokemon that are higher than like level like 25 anywhere. So whatever team you train up essentially is what you're going to be stuck with. You want to catch like a Houndoom or whatever, which is only post game. It's level like 15.
Yeah. So you basically have to grind at the point, you know.
It's insane.
Forever.
Yeah. And so like you're stuck with your team the entire way, and your team will probably be over leveled the entire time because it's one of the only few gens that allow you to do the gyms in a different order as well. Because once you hit the fourth gym, you can do 5, 6, and 7 in any order, I think. Right?
I don't remember what gyms it is, but I do remember there being 3 or 4 of them that are interchangeable. Yeah, like it doesn't matter which one you do.
And so to do that, they had to like keep the levels kind of low.
Yeah.
So once you beat the first one, you're set for the rest, the other two. And it's just a cakewalk the entire time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was going to say Gen 2 might be the easiest. That's not true. But Gen 2 is definitely when it seemed like the difficulty concerns could be raised because that game, after a certain point, it basically just plays itself because everything is so underleveled compared to you, even though everything else was vastly improved.
And then everything in the Kanto region, you can do in any order, but you had some flexibility and it also had the same problem. Everything was like level 50-ish. So once you beat the Elite Four, you were already like at level for the first gym, and then you should just be overleveled for everything else until you get to Red, which is like 80.
I was gonna say he's like 80s to 90.
He's like 80, and you have to grind forever to get even near to his level. So you either have to like really cheese it or grind forever. And either of those are not really ideal situations, I feel.
No.
I mean, but if you did manage to beat him that long ago, it would feel pretty good because you probably were working that hard. Nowadays, if you go back, you'd just be really annoyed.
Yeah.
I don't think I bothered with my Heart Gold one because they didn't fix the balancing in Heart Gold, Soul Silver.
Missed opportunity. But other than that,
I mean, missed opportunity. It's insane.
I can't believe they missed that.
We'll talk about balancing later. They had to keep it pure for the purists.
Naturally.
Yeah.
The ones who matter.
The Gen 2ers.
Yeah.
Which I think is more common than Gen 1er nowadays.
I mean, yeah, as people get older, I mean, you're going to have like just the changing demographics.
We're on like Gen 4ers right now.
No, I'd say it's Gen 5ers. Gen 5 is like the new indie darling where it's like, oh, everyone loves Gen 5. But if you don't like Gen 5, then you're an idiot.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
It's kind of weird how it's changed. But anyway, yeah, I mean, Gen 2, honestly, was basically improvements in every way besides the balancing.
And Gen 1 wasn't really balanced at all anyway. So
No, not really.
So it didn't really, you wouldn't notice it at the time.
Didn't hurt it all that much. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, yeah, well, when we get to Gen 4, we'll talk about Heart Gold. But
yeah.
So going to Gen 3 is where they actually started to do balancing. They added, what, they had held items?
Yep.
They added berries.
Skills.
They added abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, abilities. Which there weren't that many at the time, but they added them. No.
Still changed a lot of strategy though.
They added a really solid roster to the decks. It was another 150-ish or something like that, right? It was a good amount. Everything was new. You didn't see like almost any old Pokemon in the base.
Yeah, it was like 120, 130, something. Yeah, like
I was
that.
Gonna say it's 130, but I might be wrong on that.
Yeah, so like the entire story, you would see all new Pokemon, which is really cool.
Yeah, there was definitely, I think there were still old Pokemon in there, but it was definitely like probably, it was more sporadic. There was like lots of new Pokemon with old Pokemon sprinkled in, which I think works really well. I think that's a great balance to have of lots of new.
And oh yeah, they had like Geodude and stuff. Old. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and all the caves. The caves are still exactly the same.
Zubats yeah, well, and Geodudes.
Yeah, oh yeah. That'll never change.
Yeah. Well, hold on.
What about Wubat? I love Gen 3, so I'm going to be biased. But
Gen 3 is very good, and I think it's mostly because of Emerald.
Yeah.
Emerald definitely did it.
I also think the sprite art is really good, too.
The sprite art's fantastic. Emerald completed the decks, because I don't think you were able to trade up a lot of the Pokemon until Emerald.
I don't think you could.
It was something like that. I don't remember that 100%. But then Emerald had an amazing post-game. Original post.
Yeah, we had the whole bat. We all had
Battle Frontier, which was actually introduced. Like you actually had to do strategy and train up your Eevee. Did it introduce Eevees in Gen 3?
I think we had Eevees in the other games, but it worked.
I was to say, yeah,
I don't think it was in Gen 1.
I think they were technically the data for them was always there, but they didn't actually.
Oh. Wow.
The data didn't actually change anything until Gen 3, if I remember correctly.
Maybe.
Same with abilities. If I remember correctly, you can actually trade up things, and the data for the mons from 1 and 2, when they're traded to something else, actually does like the data is coded in. Well, it's just
I think it's because they determine it based upon some number that's assigned or something. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure.
Because you can go into like all the coding shenanigans they had to get.
But yeah,
to fix all of it.
That's really cool because a lot of Pokemon that. You know, wouldn't have a use before because they were just outclassed in any other way, at least had some uniqueness now due to abilities. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, there's a lot of balancing issues still, but you know, like strategy comes into play now, which is really cool.
I think abilities were, I mean, my favorite thing that was added to Gen 3 just because it helps differentiate Pokemon so much. Like it, you know, it's not like, oh, this grass type is now better or worse than this grass type because it's essentially the same except for it has better stats or whatever. It's like, well, this they can give them abilities that make them unique and give them their own niches or strategies. And along with now introducing like a more in-depth move pool.
And yeah, in-depth really move helped, pool for sure.
It helped individualize them a lot.
Yeah, because you get things like Shedinja, which had like, you know, Wonder Guard, which is unique. I mean, it's kind of, it's broken sometimes, useless in other times, but it's really unique. And then they also had, you know, more unique mons in general. Yeah, like Cast Form, they had Ninjask and Shedinja. They had
Kecleon? What's the freaking...
Yeah, Kecleon with the color change.
Kecleon was cool.
I never use it, but because it's not that good. Sweet. He's cool, though.
The abilities weren't very good, or the more unique ones weren't necessarily good, but it was still like was really different. Cool to see these.
They're cool. Pokemon, I mean, it was cool for like the anime and stuff.
It was cool for the anime. No, but it was again, just like it made them all stand out. Like Kecleon mm-hmm. wasn't just a normal type that looked like a lizard or whatever, or an iguana or
he
whatever,
was literally a
Kecleon.
Chameleon.
You don't know what
chameleon.
Kecleon's supposed to look like, Ryan? Are you serious?
I have the image in my head, but my brain is farting on the name.
Kecleon.
Chameleon. I was like, what is the word?
Oh man.
Oh no.
Kecleon. But yeah, no. But that like helped really individualize them, and I really appreciate that.
I agree.
Yeah. And then
it also didn't have the huge issue with difficulty and level balancing that 2 did.
Emerald, still not yeah, like it's probably hard. One of the most balanced like gens in the yeah. entire series.
I wouldn't say yeah. that it's still difficult throughout. Well, the story obviously, because like once you get to the post game, it can get hard. But the story is still pretty easy. But I think it's
fair.
Harder than 1 and 2, which made it more enjoyable.
And the thing that
I
was just gonna bring up story as well. Like I feel like, especially in Emerald in particular, just like the elements of having two teams that were also at odds. And you're just kind of in the middle of it.
That was cool.
And, it was really cool. And I feel like there was like a weird sense of scale that even though other Pokemon games have gone like bigger and grander than that, like watching like Groudon and Kyogre fight each other. And then like, you gotta go get Rayquaza to stop them. Like there was something about that that just was like, whoa, I'm doing this. Like, this is amazing.
Because that was the first time the legendaries like really mattered, because Crystal yeah. had the dogs and the story was centered around the dogs.
Lugia,
like, obviously,
and
yeah, I mean like them too, but I mean like Crystal specifically with like Suicune and everything. Like you meet the legendaries, you know like what their story is with like the Burn Tower and everything, but they're not really all that important. They're still just things for you to catch. While in yeah. Gen 3, it's like the first time where the legendaries like the story is centered around them. Like they have so much power. They influence, you know, the elements of the ocean or the elements of like the grounds of the earth itself. And it just, mm-hmm. it feels really bombastic. And it felt like you had this like really cool journey that was leading up to like this ultimate moment of, hey, these like godlike beings are going to fight.
Yeah.
Also that soundtrack though.
Trumpets are blazing.
The trumpets, boys. Let's
oh
go.
Man.
It was so good. I can like think of pretty much every theme from third gen in my head.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't actually touch on that for the other two gens, but in general, the
music's good.
The soundtrack is good for like every game or every generation.
Oh
like,
yeah, absolutely. They have
some like world-class talent at working on these games for the soundtracks at least.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, even for like some of the lesser quote unquote lesser gens, like there's still bangers in there.
You don't have to quote. It's true. It's objectively true.
Okay.
All right.
So before we move on, let's touch on Fire Red Leaf Green. So Fire Red Leaf Green, I played Leaf Green. That was probably my most played Pokemon game. I loved Leaf Green so much because I think Kanto is a solidly designed region.
Yeah.
But just the upgrade to the Gen 3 engine made a world of difference. Everything looks fantastic.
If you ever introduce the Pokemon series, like, I don't know how they wouldn't know it, or like if someone's like really young and you want them to start from Gen 1, don't ever let anyone play Red, Blue, and Yellow like ever again. Give them Fire Red. You'd
probably turn them off
because they're so good. They're just vastly improved versions of
the first gen. You get running shoes.
You do, yes.
The best edition.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And then you're allowed to actually, like, you can catch other Pokemon, complete the next post game mm-hmm. as well without just the Kanto ones. And so actually, yeah, starting Gen 3, like completing the decks became a really fun thing to do.
Yeah.
Just because if you had Fire Red or Leaf Green and then you had Emerald, you could get, or I guess you need to trade to Ruby and Sapphire as well, but like it was an actual hunt. It was a lot of fun to do. I never completed it myself, but I wanted to. You know, before all the online trading came around,
which yeah.
ruined everything. Anyway,
yeah, what you need sometimes.
Yeah.
Anything you guys want to touch on Fire Red Leaf Green before we move on?
I mean,
like Gen 3 is fantastic. Like, it kind of set the standard, I feel, for the rest of the series.
I would say that Gen 3 is the reason why the Pokemon series is as beloved as it is. Because Gens 1 and 2 are good, and especially like at the
time, wildly popular,
really great.
Wildly popular.
I mean, yeah, wildly popular. But I think Gen 3 is the first one that like really, really made people like absolutely adore the series.
Shot it to the moon for sure.
Yeah. In particular, like, Emeralds.
Yeah.
For yeah, definitely.
It was so cool.
Just so many like quality of life things and ways that have or changes and updates that are we still see today, which is not a lot of gens these days will add an element and then remove it, which is really frustrating.
Oh sometimes. Yeah, that's annoying.
But almost every I think pretty much everything that they introduced that was new from Gen 3 is like not stayed. Only
stayed, double battles.
But it's also like
that's by saying like hang staple. On
double battles.
Yeah. So double battles, abilities, EVs, IVs, all that.
Double battle. Like, the entire series should be double battles.
Yeah,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
It's all of our proposals for the next game.
Yeah. Oh my god! Oh my I can't believe I forgot double battles. Double battles were the greatest addition. Screw abilities. Screw anything else we just talked about. Double battles are so good.
They're so fun, and that's why I mean that's the tournament official.
Like, yeah, that's why
if you follow the competitive scene at all,
it is. It definitely makes everything so much more interesting,
especially with the weird abilities nowadays.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and there's just something more exciting about seeing like. More than two Pokemon on the field, you know, and like being able to use, you know, two Pokemon at a time and having that like team synergy and you know,
it's mind tricks and stuff like that.
Yeah. And it doesn't just become like pull out a type that has an advantage over the NPCs.
And then you gotta sweep. Like, I mean, there's more to it than that, but like that's generally what it boils down to.
I think that's one of the reasons why the games have gotten so easy is because it's just like, well,
it's the all NPC, single battles. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all single battles. The NPC pulls out a psychic. I'm going to pull out my dark type. What are you going to do about it? Because you're not going to switch.
Nice example. Pulling out the typing that like nobody knows.
We could have said like, fire and grass or something. What?
Real fans will know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Sure.
I could have said ghost type because that's all I use. But anyway,
I'm surprised you didn't say ghost type, to be honest. But I mean, some of the typings can get kind of complicated.
Yeah. Well, psychic and dark is pretty straightforward.
All right. So Gen 4.
Well,
we're talking about Diamond, Pearl, Platinum, and Heart, Gold, Soul, Silver. So what did it add?
Well, Gen 4, as the resident Gen 4 hater here, did one thing correct, and the franchise has never been the same since. It's kind of like Gen 3 with abilities and all that. It did the split for special attack and regular attack. So things now actually have further delineation between whether you should pick up a mon because it's like physical or special, which is a fantastic addition, and I can't believe it was added in the worst gen.
Yeah, so, I mean, the biggest thing, yeah, Gen 4 did was the balancing, and... So funny thing, Gen 4, that's the one gen that I remember being like, I was in school, in high school, and I'm like, man, I've kind of been out of Pokemon for a while, even though I've played a ton of Emerald. Mm-hmm. Time to pick back Pokemon up. And it felt really weird. It felt like a foreign gen to me.
Really?
Like, it felt like a fan game in some way. Just like the designs. I feel like the designs kind of shifted.
They're not good.
I don't know. I mean, I like a lot of Gen 4 designs.
I like
Abomasnow. I like the parrot Chatot with the little musical note on its head.
I do like Chatot though.
We all meme on Bidoof, but like,
you mean the god?
I mean, yeah, I do, but like, he holds all the HMs. Love Bidoof. We all actually deep down we all love Bidoof.
He's a Chat.
It's not even that deep. It's like maybe a centimeter deep. I'm just like, oh yeah, I adore Bidoof.
I have a tattoo. On me right here. It's not even skin deep. It's just on my body. It says Bidoof right here.
You're not supposed to tell the people about that. That's supposed to be a secret.
It's in the secret
not
spot.
Anymore.
Ooh.
But no, I thought that there were some pretty cool Pokemon in Gen 4.
Yeah.
Every gen has duds, obviously, but I like Gen 4's designs, I think.
I think Gen 4 had some really good ones, but I mean, I think most of them were pretty meh.
Well, what else? Aesthetics and designs, Gen 4 is, even without my bias, like, I don't think the designs are as strong in Gen 4 with the others. There's, again, like Ryan just said, there's always duds, but I think there's more duds in Gen 4 than there are gems.
I can agree with that. I mean, for sure. The legendaries, I think Palkia is all right. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the legendaries. Even Giratina is like, meh.
I like my book. Darkrai a lot.
Darkrai's pretty cool. Okay, Darkrai's cool. I'll give you that.
And I do like Giratina, but I'm like meh on
pretty much all the other ones. Arceus, I'm like eh.
I don't like the Lake Spirits. Those guys really
the Lake Spirits suck.
Because it's like, why do we have three legendaries that are all very similar, the same I mean, they have different stat spreads. That's supposed to be what like differentiates them.
But they did the same thing in Gen 5.
It's just like, you know what? Mew was really popular. So what if we had three of them? That's what it felt like.
Yeah, that was pretty mean. What else did Gen 4 add? They added the weird fossil underground thing, which was fun. But
yeah,
it wasn't like a game change. It wasn't like a game changing mechanic thing.
It was neat.
It was a neat little distraction.
Yeah.
Else did they add mechanic wise? More items. More. I mean, essentially, they focused a lot on balance. A lot of balancing went on behind the scenes. A lot of new items. So I mean, that's something to take into account.
Evolutions to existing Pokemon.
Existing. Oh yeah. For evolution, I don't know if those needed it though, because those third evolutions for some of them became super strong, like Electivire and Magmortar. I think their stats are pretty darn good.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if they needed an evolution.
It's not that they needed one, it's that we wanted one.
Oh.
Adding evolutions is cool.
It is cool. I don't
that's not wrong. That. Yeah.
But
you guys are like struggling to come up with anything that Gen 4 did, and it's legit. It's the physical special split. That's
about it.
That's what it did.
Another thing, the Gen 4 engine is really slow. So like, if you, there's the meme out there where Blissey, you try to one hit KO a Blissey.
Yeah.
It takes 45 seconds. It's because like all the health bars and everything is just really slow. It takes forever to get through a Gen 4 game.
Yeah. I will say that Sinnoh as a region, I don't really remember like the map.
I don't remember it that much either.
But I like the more, I don't know, I guess mountainous, and like it felt, you know, like everyone, like at least in a Platinum, like they're wearing like stuff for snow and stuff. Like
at least
it
doesn't have too much water.
You know, we meme on that, but goddamn, was there a lot of water in Gen 3?
Was there though?
After the whole
surfing and diving all the time.
The whole like all southern route is all water.
It's entirely water.
It is extremely obnoxious from what I remember it being a pain.
The water is just tall grass essentially, but you have to, it's like the entire way, it's the entire route is tall grass.
Yeah, but yeah, I liked the snowy or kind of mountainous aesthetic of Sinnoh. That was like one of the things that I did enjoy about it.
The sprite work looked really good.
Yeah, sprite work was you know,
well, because it was on the DS now, so I mean that's kind of a given.
It didn't even like necessarily feel like a huge upgrade from Gen 3.
It did not.
But yeah. it was like a small step.
Yeah.
And then you get to Gen 5 and it just blows everything out of the water. But that's, you know.
So I think the biggest thing is balance.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So I'm curious to revisit it this fall or whenever it's coming out, the remakes.
Yeah, have we'll fun. See how that goes.
Yeah, yeah. Ryan, we might be the only one. I'm still on the fence. I don't know if I want it or not. I probably will.
I was planning on getting it just to.
I have all my Pokemon are held hostage in Pokemon Home, so I got to do that. So HeartGold and SoulSilver remakes of. A lot of people really like HeartGold and SoulSilver, and I heard nothing but good things about it. And I played it recently, and It visually, it looks great.
Yep.
But all the bad things about Gen 2 were not fixed. And so all like the pacing and like the Mon selection was really bad. So I'm like, I don't know. And I had a hard time getting through the second half of the game. The first half of the game, gems 1 through 4, perfectly fine. I had a ton of fun with it. After that fourth gym, I was not having a good time.
I just feel like I remember playing Soul Silver, and I just there being like a lot of stuff to do, and I can't even tell you off the top of my head what it was, but it felt like every town you'd go into and it was like there's like a friggin' 100 different things to do, and I, you know, really? It always kept you busy with stuff.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I felt like I was constantly doing stuff and, you know, finding things to do.
I didn't feel that really.
I mean, Heart Gold, Soul Silver is kind of interesting because I always said that Gen 2 is my favorite gen until I replayed Soul Silver a couple years back and I realized that's false. Gen 3 is my favorite gen because Soul Silver and Heart Gold basically have the issues from Gen 2 and the issues from Gen 4 wrapped into the same game. And it isn't a bad game, but those issues become really apparent the longer you play it. Like you just say, like the second half just becomes kind of a slog. And I was like, man, I didn't have that issue at all with, the Gen 3 remake. So I then realized Gen 3 is my favorite.
As a first time player, I can totally see like if it's your first time playing those games, I can totally see it being like your favorite because like it's all the nostalgia. It's all the Gen 2 glory in a beautiful engine. And then you have all of the post game in Kanto again.
But I feel like having 16 gems really helps. Like it's part of the reason why it drives people to like it so much. It's like
you're so much there's a ton of content. Yeah,
and Red's still at the end, and it's still just as thrilling.
Still just as cool.
And they had a Battle Frontier in it as well. I think in Heart Gold Soul Silver. I haven't played it because I got bored with it before I got to that part. But there was like a Battle Frontier area as well.
I don't think it was
as good as the Gen 3 Battle Frontier, but I did a little bit of it. Yeah, there was. I mean, it was essentially just Battle Frontier.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah. I would agree. I remember that game fondly. I haven't played it in a long time, though. But I remember liking it. I couldn't tell you if it would be the same. It's been years. It's been years since I've played it, so who could say? But
I didn't have
the problem. Same problem you're saying you had, where you got tired of it after Gym 4.
I think the problem with it is that I'm starting to just get really bored of Pokemon games. Like the longer I keep playing Pokemon games, the more bored I get. Like because I remember feeling that starting with like Sun and Moon, and I'm like, man, this was pretty fun. And then what did I play? Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire. Actually, those were really fun too. But then going to to Sword and Shield, and then going to Heart Gold, and then going to Black and White 2, which is what I've played most recently. Like it started like just wearing down on me. And I didn't really play them like one right after the other either.
Yeah, they definitely need to formula... do something that changes up the formula that isn't just a new type of way that the Pokemon transform.
Right, and I think that's...
But we'll get to that.
That's the biggest thing with Gen 4 is that there isn't that much to go off of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's still all single battles. They still all have essentially the same abilities. It's just different mons.
Right.
It seems like... I feel like a lot of times I guess it's maybe not true, but it always feels like the odd number gens are like a big step, and the even number gens are less... are more of like a refinement.
That might just be a coincidence. I don't know.
It probably is, but that's just always how I've felt as I've played these games.
Well, let's analyze it. Gen 5.
Gen 5.
Black and White, and then...
Black and White 2, that's it.
Black and White 2, that's it, yeah. So I didn't... I played Black and White, and I started Black 2 recently, but I didn't finish it because I got bored. But that was my most recent one.
See, so I think Gen 5 was particularly special because
I think if I had
going into going into like a new region, and not in Black and White 2, but in the original ones, you're going to a new region and it's all new Pokemon. And I think that deterred some people because they like, again, we were saying before, it's great to have lots of new Pokemon with old Pokemon also sprinkled in there. And Gen 5, in a way, before Black and White 2, it almost felt removed from Pokemon in general because those original Pokemon was kind of all you had, at least at the beginning. And it almost made it feel kind of separated. But I really liked having all those new Pokemon in there and just having new Pokemon. And I thought the Gen 5 designs were pretty solid as well. They're duds, but
there was a lot of good Gen 5 designs. I like Joltik is a really cool.
Joltik's great.
Joltik's great.
They had some pretty good bugs.
Golurk is my second favorite. Golurk Pokemon is really cool.
I do like Golurk too.
I'm looking at some solid
designs
right
of Gen 5. Yeah,
there's a lot of really good Gen 5 designs. I don't like the monkeys, but I also just don't like
them. The monkeys are kind of boring.
Mostly
because there's three of them.
Yeah, it's the same problem the lake spirits have.
Yeah.
It delays it.
People want to trash on my boy Trubbish. I love Trubbish.
Trubbish is kind of cute. Face.
Look at that derpy face.
Whoa. Look at that face. He's so adorable. Justice for Trubbish. I will say one thing that I thought Gen 5 didn't. I felt like there were like way too many legendaries in Gen 5, just like to the point where I was like,
we start getting to the point where they're just going legendary overhaul at this point.
Yeah,
I felt that in 4 as well. Where
there's too many.
They start having too many legendaries where it's just oversaturation.
There's 13. There's like 13 legendaries in this game. Which is almost 10%.
And then they start, especially with a lot of the remakes and things, or the second editions, they start letting you get like every single legendary under the sun. Yeah,
Black and White 2, I think you literally had I think they threw in every single legendary, which was a...
That was a decision.
It really diminishes the value of a legendary, I think.
I understand I'm glad you can make it easy to make them available.
But like,
you know, I don't want to have to.
They made it like a little transfer. They throw it in your face.
I don't want to have to transfer, you know, Reggie Rock from Gen 3 into Gen 4, and then into Gen 5, and then into
that Pokemon can be annoying.
Bank to Pokemon Home, and then to Sword and Shield.
Yeah, because no reasonable person is going to have that. It's only like the super nerds like you.
Well, I don't even have that. But
oh,
you're not nerdy enough. Oh man.
Nerdy enough.
I can only go as far back as Gen 4. I can't go all the way to Gen 3.
I can... I don't know if I have Gen 3 carts in my collection.
Yeah, I don't
have... I have a Gen 1 cart. Shoot.
Gotta anyway. Fill in the gaps.
I don't have that many Pokemon games right now, actually. I used to. My brother took them all.
Yeah. Anyways, Gen 5... introduces. We talked about double battles.
Triple.
Ooh, but let's talk about triple battles, baby.
I don't have an opinion on triple battles because you do it like literally once.
They don't use it at all, which is so frustrating. And they also added rotational battles, which was you had three Pokemon in the field and you would switch out which one you wanted on front.
I think it's a neat gimmick.
I think it's one of those things that makes me be like, I like the idea, and I wouldn't want an entire game centralized.
I would not.
But this is the kind of thing where it's like you're playing a Pokemon game, you're having a good time, you're comfy, you're playing your singles, and then all of a sudden, bam, they drop a friggin' rotational battle, and you're like, "What? I gotta do a rotate? I didn't even have my three Pokemon out, or I wasn't ready for this." And it's just like a little extra something.
Well, on online,
keep you on your toes.
You had to do a lot of mind games and be like, oh man, what moves are you going to use? Am I going to switch to my left or my right on?
Or whatever. Yeah, and obviously in competitive, you can use it as much. You can play it as
it
much
was cool,
as you want,
yeah.
Whatever you want. And again, like I said, I wouldn't want the entire campaign to be rotational battles or even triple battles, but I like the idea you know, it's like maybe one out of, you know, 10 battles, you get a rotational battle or something like that.
Double battles, I think, is a great balance.
Yeah, I would agree. I would agree with that.
But we'll get to that.
But we'll get to that.
Did Black 2 or White 2 really add anything? Because I've actually never played the sequel.
So funny thing you said that. Not really. They did add the concept of difficulty, but they did the stupidest thing ever.
Worst way to do difficulty.
You can't choose the difficulty unless, one, you've beaten the game. If you've beaten the game on White mode, you get easy mode that you can start it with, but you have to restart your entire game. Wait, no, you can't. So you can't even restart your entire game, I don't think.
You trade the code, don't you?
You have to trade the code.
Yeah, I heard about that.
So you have before you start the game, you have to get the code from somebody else. And on Black, you get the hard code.
It's so stupid. It's just, what were they thinking? Why? Why would you do that? And then they're like, I guess we're just never going to even consider difficulty again.
The thing is, though, the hard mode in Black 2 is the one I've been playing. It was actually pretty good. Like, it was all the gym leaders have like an extra Pokemon, which is desperately needed because gym leaders are horribly underpowered in most games.
Yeah.
And all like just all the trainers are higher level essentially.
I would.
So you actually have some challenge in the game, which is awesome.
I would kill for a hard mode in Pokemon.
I know. It's literally the only thing they need to make the games interesting again, because everything now is press A to win.
Yeah.
Every starter Pokemon has like, even I even box my starter. I don't even pick my starter Pokemon anymore just because of how like easy it is to win the game with your starter, because they get a special move every game now or something, or like a mega evolution or something. And you use your special move and they just one shot everything.
Yeah. It's I'd love me some hard mode.
Love it.
And,
yeah.
And I love how
difficulty, like, please.
We'll give you hard mode, but we're going to make it really dumb. You only get in one version of the game, and we're never going to do it again.
And you have to have friends. Or buy the game twice and beat the game on one and then move it to the, oh my gosh, it's terrible. Yes. I had to use an action replay to unlock hard mode on mine. And I had to do the stupidest thing. I had to, my action replay was like, it was like from like 10 years, it was a DS action replay. So of course, like, it doesn't even work on like Windows 10 anymore to upgrade the firmware to get Black 2 action replay support for it. So I had to boot up like a Windows XP machine, hook up my action replay to that, somehow link the USB into the virtual machine, and then upgrade the firmware from the virtual machine, and then manually put in like an action replay code to unlock.
You went full hacker mode.
I did, and then I didn't even finish the game because I got bored.
That's the best part. You did all that effort and basically
I put so much effort into that. The thing is, I didn't realize that you couldn't restart the game on hard mode if you beat the game. So I got Black 2. I paid like $100 for a freaking Black 2 card as well.
Jeez.
Because I didn't want to emulate it because I'm a good guy. Even though we're not getting into that discussion. So I paid $100 like an idiot for Black 2. And I'm like, shoot, okay, it doesn't have hard mode on it. But the previous owner was like, he was 8 gyms in. Traded all of his Pokemon away except for a few. But he didn't beat the Elite Four. I'm like, okay, shoot. I took his ragtag team, made the best possible team I could, and somehow beat the Elite Four barely without doing some absurd grinding. And then I still couldn't play it because you can't actually restart the game on hard. You have to trade the code before you start the game or something like that. It's so, because if you wipe your save file, you wipe the codes that you get, the hard and easy codes. It's thick-skulled.
It's asinine. Understand it.
I don't know
what the brain's a Game Freak.
Just don't. You know, Game Freak has made a lot of interesting decisions over the years.
Game Freak is stupid. Game Freak's such a bad set of developers. Or not
one of the
management, or I don't know what they do. Someone's at fault, and I'm going to blame them for it.
Although we have gotten off on a tangent.
Let's talk about the sprites in Gen 5.
The sprites in Gen 5 look fantastic. That's the best thing the game's ever looked. It looks better than the 3D sprites.
Completely animated. I love the animated sprites in Gen 5 so much.
It's the best looking.
It is so good.
Game.
Oh, I miss it so much.
And then they went to 3D, and then the 3D models look pretty mediocre.
Yeah.
And they have no life.
3D was really fun when it was introduced, but now like that we're here.
Yeah, when it first like, but we had the thing is that we've had 3D in like Pokemon like Colosseum and stuff already in XD.
Yeah.
So we've seen it before. It's just now it's on the mainline series.
Yeah. Sprites
and battle. Oh, yeah, like Battle Revolution, which has fantastic animations. And that's a huge, huge controversy with Sword and Shield with the high quality animation thing, but
yeah, I long for the days of animated sprite. Gen 5 specifically.
It looks so good.
Because they are very good. And before we move on to Gen 6, I just want to say that Team Plasma's theme, I can't remember which one. It's if it was Gen 1 or if it was Black and White or Black and White 2. But Team Plasma's theme was probably one of my favorite Pokemon themes of all time.
Also, N was a fantastic like anti-hero rival guy.
And much like Black and White 2 didn't quite have the same
It didn't.
Sense of scale that Gen 3 had, but I think that the concepts and the, you know, like, and coming in and talking about liberating Pokemon, and
it makes sense.
It's like,
yeah,
that thing that we've always joked about, like, oh, we're just enslaving these monsters and putting them in the balls. They're like, well, yeah, let's talk about that. Let's, like, let's make our entire plot around that for once. And it's like, it was interesting and fun to do that.
Yeah, definitely.
And they had an interesting idea again.
And that's where the good ideas die.
Oh, frick. Team Flare, Gen 6? No. I don't even remember what Team Flare wanted. That's how bad they were.
They want to end the universe and make it prettier? Wasn't that, like, literally it?
Yeah, they wanted to end the universe, just like in Gen 4.
Doesn't make any sense. Why do you want to die?
I don't know, man. Wait a second. Are you asking that question? Because that's pretty common. I don't know.
Oh, so, man.
Gen 6,
3D, XY, Omega Ruby, Alpha Sapphire.
They brought in the 3D. And they also introduced Megas, which I liked.
Megas are, like, the coolest thing. And they're not balanced. If they balance them...
Megas were super broken.
Added some more variety. I think they're an awesome idea in terms of strategy, because you have to, one, give up the held item of your Mon, and two, they have, like, super unique abilities usually most of the time. Like, I think Mega Beedrills was like, you're guaranteed to hit any multi-hit attack. So, like, Pin Needle or whatever he has. So you were guaranteed that it's like 6 hits.
Yeah, I think, you know, Megas were super good, and it was cool because at the beginning they were introducing them, and it was like, hey, Ampharos has one. We're going to take, Mawile has one. It's like, we're taking some of these Pokemon that are, like, not as popular, or maybe they're kind of underpowered, or they're not as good in the meta. We're gonna make them good by giving them Megas. And they're like, but, like, what if we also gave one to, like, Mewtwo? Like,
Rayquaza. Funny,
quirky? Yeah.
Rayquaza. What if Mewtwo had two? Like, I don't know. That'd be kind of fun.
And then they,
like,
generated their own band tier. There was a band tier beyond band.
Because for the Rayquaza was meta. So broken that he was broken in
why
the broken
would they
tier.
Do that? No, he's not a mega, he's primal. So I think you could technically have a primal and a mega on the same team.
No, so Rayquaza actually was mega, I believe. Oh, it was only Kyogre. Yeah, Rayquaza was mega. Proudhon,
why the heck did they make primal? That's so stupid. They're literally just megas.
I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't make any sense. But
the concept of Megas were so cool, and then they ripped them from us.
But we'll get to that when we get to Gen 7.
It's kind of funny.
They didn't get rid of them in Gen 7, though.
Well, they didn't add any new ones.
They didn't add any,
but I mean, they still had it there, at least.
You could still use it, I think, in online.
That's true.
Yeah.
You got them at the very end of the game. You could grind Battle Tree for them. Great.
Yeah. Mechanically, I think Megas are really neat. As a strategy to it, makes certain Mons that, like, were underloved, you know, they actually get added to the meta, which is always neat, because shaking up the meta is always, like, the great idea for each gen, because it just gets way too settled. But I gotta say, I don't like most of the designs of the Megas, because I think they're so over-designed that they look ridiculous.
I mean, I can see that, but...
Mechanically, I do enjoy them.
Yeah, I think it's like a 50-50. Like, I don't mind them, like, adding just more things to Lucario, I suppose. But I will say that I do appreciate...
I don't like Mega Lucario design.
I do appreciate them going, like, the more creative routes with some of them. Like, you know...
Ampharos.
I got Ampharos has the hair. I got Gengar bias, but I do like they completely changed, like, his body structure to, like, make him, like, a shadow, which was cool. And I'm a sucker for Mega Rayquaza, even though he's absolutely just Rayquaza
with
more things on him.
He does look cool.
He's just got more spikes and fins.
He's more glowy.
It's got that weird, like,
things.
Wavy orangey thing. Yeah.
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 Mega Kyogre and Groudon look stupid, though. I mean, they just look the same.
Or if you get the glow, how dare you?
The glow.
If you have their shiny versions, they turn black, which is pretty cool.
That's kind of cool.
But yeah. I can't remember there being a whole lot of Megas designs that I was like, oh, I hate that. But I do appreciate when they get a little more creative with them.
Yeah.
And I also appreciate the change in skills and the change in stats. And it was cool, especially if they like kind of changed like the Pokemon's role entirely. Like if they went from like glass cannon to like more defensive, just based or something like that.
The Kangaskhan.
Yeah.
Went to like full on glass cannon essentially.
Yeah.
It was busted.
And it was so like, it was really exciting when they, you know, Gen 6 had so much buzz around it because they introduced Mega Mewtwo Y, but they didn't tell us what it was. So they just dropped that and we were all, you know, we all thought it was Mew 3 or something like that.
Oh yeah, you're right. I remember that.
And then eventually they started introducing Megas and they were like, and Mewtwo's one too, that one that we showed before. And so there was like this hype around the game where we were like, who's going to be, who else is getting Megas? What else? We want to see more. Like
that was cool. Yeah. So, and we didn't really get that hype otherwise afterwards.
Yeah. It was super exciting. And then even going into Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, they were still introducing
more Megas.
And that was like, they're like mega freaking Metagross. We're like, yeah,
mega Metagross, cool. My like, boy.
That was, that added so much to the hype. I feel like, at least for me, I was like, I was all in on Megas. I was like, this is awesome. This is so
yeah, me
fun.
Too, for sure. Other than that, I mean, X and Y was fine. I feel like, I mean, just like gameplay wise, I felt like it had a cool variety of Pokemon. It had definitely the most diverse set of Pokemon because it didn't really add too many new ones.
Yeah, but
it did add a ton of older ones like around, and that was the first one to do that.
I think it's now officially like the gen that introduced the least amount of new Pokemon.
It might have been, yeah.
It's 70, but 72 even besides Pokemon.
Two? Oh, 72, that's it? Jeez.
Yeah. It was very few.
That's like, yeah, wow.
But I really enjoyed a lot. I thought the designs were pretty solid.
I did as well. Aegislash is pretty sweet.
I don't like Barbacle. I don't like
freaking that. Barbacle is kind of weird.
Greninja, I think
Greninja is cool. Greninja, I think, is sweet. Greninja is like the coolest thing. Like, and I didn't pick him because I'm big stupid.
Trevenant's great. I like Trevenant.
Yeah,
there's just a lot of and this gen really pulled back on the megas. This we only had three. Outside of event Pokemon, we only had three legendaries in this. Legendaries. There was only three legendary types, other than an event Pokemon.
Yeah.
We had Exernius, Yveltal, and Zygarde, and that was it.
For that Pokemon Z that we never got.
Yeah.
Pokemon Z we never got, that they absolutely were planning on
doing. They were planning on doing it. I don't know what... I don't know why. I mean, it probably would have been an easy cash grab. But
they introduced the next gen's mechanics and they named it after that game. We got Z moves, but we never got a Pokemon.
Wait, they put the Zygarde mini quest in the next gen.
A
minute.
It was weird. I'm genuinely curious to know what ever happened with that. But overall, good, decent Pokemon designs, even though there weren't a whole lot.
It was fun. Megas horribly, were cool. Horribly unbalanced. No gym leader has more than three Pokemon, I'm pretty sure. Maybe one does.
Oh, geez, really?
I think one that was like a double battle, I think. Did.
Yeah.
But like they're under leveled. They don't have any, like some of them don't even have four moves. Even at the end of the game, which is insane. The game was very easy.
I do not remember like a single character from that game.
I don't either. Like, very not memorable.
I remember
the electric gym from Clement from the anime though.
I remember the roller skate girl.
Yeah, I remember her. She plays pretty well because that's when she does a huge part in the story because of the whole mega thing.
That's it. That's the only one I remember.
I don't remember anything you're talking about. You can put a gun to my head and say name a character from Gen 6, and you just have to fill me with bullets. Because
I watched the entire anime, so some of them had more important roles than others.
I remember the main female character because of she was in the anime.
Oh, but Serena.
I had to think about what the male character looked like.
I remember what he looked. I don't know what his name was.
He has the beret. That's all I know.
He does not have the beret.
What?
He has like a hat. Well,
Oh, I lied.
The beret's from Gen 4.
That's right. That's how little I remember Gen 6. Oh my god.
What the heck was his name? I never remember the dude. The dude's names are so like, well, usually they put the female one in the anime. So, and they just ignore the male guy completely.
The male guy gets completely shafted. He gets shafted
because Ash is there.
It doesn't matter, because if we can't remember it, then it must not have been important.
Except they didn't do that in Gen 5. They did that. They put Iris as the companion, yeah, which was cool because I like Iris. Iris is cool. She's got dragons,
I suppose.
Iris is a good character. Fan favorite, like... black and white. Remember that? the one time they added the first time they added Pokemon to Netflix, it was Gen 1, and then it was the original series, and then it was, they said fan favorite, quote unquote, black and white, and I'm like, who says that? Who says they do that? Their favorite series is black and white?
I thought they heard like one person say that. And they're like, all right, fan favorite.
It's such a weird
one controversial thing. Yeah. Anyways, I'm not gonna make this about the Alpha Sapphire.
All right, so Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. I like them a lot. I mean, they, I thought they were pretty fun. They were fun remakes.
I love Oris.
I had a blast with it, and I know some people didn't. A lot of the diehard fans. Well, I think they were like just Gen 3ers who like the purity of the old Gen 3, but I mean, I had a blast. I don't know, it was just really like easy to play, not easy like in difficulty, but like easy to play, and they had a lot of good post-game content, even though they didn't have Battle Frontier. That was the biggest
thing. I think it's the main complaint is that people say that essentially Emerald is still the definitive Gen 3 experience because it has the Battle Frontier,
and it probably is. Doesn't it probably is still the definitive Gen 3 experience,
but... and Auraz didn't quite, I mean, they didn't have the Emerald plot, which I was kind of expecting them to be like, well, it's going to be two different versions, but we're going to still kind of do the Emerald thing where they're two different teams that are conflicting, but they both had
the Delta episode, which was weird.
Yeah,
it was like its own thing.
Yeah,
that Delta episode was like my favorite part of that
Delta
game.
Episode was fun though. It was
Delta episode.
It was weird, that but was, it was fun post game content.
That was like, I was like, that was like so.
It was unexpected.
almost that same magic that I remember feeling when I played Emerald and being like, this is epic. Like,
you should have go to space. So.
I'm going to space and I'm fighting Deoxys with Mega Rayquaza. This is awesome.
It's so extra, but I love it.
It is. They also added the whole fly, where you can fly around and check out the map. Like in 3, yeah. That was really cool. And you didn't have to have a Pokemon that needed to learn to fly.
Yeah.
So it's more, we got one step closer to removing HMs essentially.
Yeah, that was
because HMs, was I think we all agree HMs are like the worst because they kind of hamstring the team.
We haven't really talked about HMs, super annoying.
Because for most of the series with HMs, you either have to hamstring your team by making one Mon know like four HMs and then the rest kind of know some HMs, which ruins a move slot, or you have to keep going back and forth to a freaking PC every time you want to progress in the game at all, which is super annoying.
Yeah, and they only like it was weird because like they made Surf pretty good. Like Surf is a pretty definitive.
Surf's an amazing water move every single gen. And there's no.
And then they're like, and you gotta have cut.
Like, you gotta have cut. Like, you gotta have Rock Smash.
Fly would have been fine if it didn't take two turns. It's like, it's tedious.
Fly's
to
not
use.
Bad. It's just tedious.
And it just like weird decisions like that. It's like if they had made the TMs actually be like decent moves, then it probably, or HM, excuse me. If they had made the HMs be decent moves, then it would have been one thing. But
most of them are like okay though. Like, I mean, Cut's like the only one I can think of that's really bad. Rock Smash at least has a chance of lowering defense in most gens. It's not that great though.
It's not a great chance. It's also not really, it's not a good power.
No, it's not.
To, like, use to try to get that chance off. I mean, there's other moves you can use.
But essentially, you just have Surf. Surf is the like top tier.
Surf is good.
Yeah, you have Surf, and then like.
But then they freaking added Waterfall, which is like similar. I mean, it's comparable.
They added Dive, which is fly, like, but water.
three freaking water moves. So
at least with
Watermon, all three of those.
Surf was at least a special move, and I think Waterfall was physical.
Yes.
So that was helped really? Differentiate them. Yeah.
Cool.
But and I don't think, I think Waterfall was actually also a pretty good move, but
Waterfall physical also, water types. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
It's probably one of the best, honestly.
Yeah, but otherwise, most of the HMs weren't great, and they also had like the extra caveat that you couldn't use a TM to overwrite it. at the time. You had to go to a move forgetter or whatever you would call them.
That move deleter, yeah.
That's the move the deleter, worst. That's what it was.
I don't know why they don't let you delete the move normally. That's so annoying.
I'm sure it had something to do with them not wanting you to get yourself stuck somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, well, HMs you could reuse.
Yeah, but, and that's true. Maybe, I don't know how that, I'm sure that they must have had a mindset of like someone.
Something like that, yeah.
Could figure, someone could break it and get themselves trapped.
You think they have a reason? That's adorable. Game Freak just does dumb things.
They just do things because they want to.
Yeah.
They're like, yeah. Wouldn't it be inconvenient if they couldn't forget HMs? Let's just do that. I mean, anyway. They did keep HMs for like that long. So, you know, maybe they were just like.
I'm glad we brought up HMs because the next gen deletes them.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk about that. That's the best part.
Yeah.
Honestly. But then they ruined it with some other things. But anyway. So Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire. I mean, we think they were fun. Fun as heck.
Maybe a little great. Honestly, it's just really the only complaint I have about Auras is that if you go like the super I don't want to say super hardcore, but like the more hardcore, more competitive route with Battle for Tier from Emeralds, that is missing. So if you really, really enjoy that in Emeralds, then they might feel mediocre or they might feel like lacking in some way.
Definitely.
But other than that, I think they're really, really good renditions of Gen 3.
I think so as well.
The one thing that I noticed as I played Oras was I realized that Gen 3 probably has some of my least favorite Pokemon designs in all the generations, because like I just had such a hard time putting together a team that of Pokemon that really? I was like, I like this Pokemon, so I'm gonna put them on my team. Like every Pokemon I was like, meh, I'll pass. Maybe it had something to do with just the fact that they were like I was so familiar with them and or something, but like I just remember constantly being like, I don't like these Pokemon as much as I
think
like
it was opposite for me. It was opposite for me because I used to like be like, man, Gen 3 designs. I'm like, man, I didn't really care too much about it. And then I played Auras. I'm like, man, I kind of like Gen 3 designs. Freaking Surviper. Survivor's sweet. Love my boy.
Survivor's so cool. Zangoose is cool too.
Zangoose is also cool. Yeah. I had a Survivor on my team for the longest time. So I had freaking strategy wise, whenever we did double battles, I had Survivor that had the move that they added that lets you delete a Pokemon's ability. And I used that in double battle with my Slaking. You can remove Truant from Slaking with that. And so Slaking can use a move every turn with his busted legendary stats.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, double battles.
Double battles.
Those are kind of fun. It's kind of interesting, guys.
Yeah.
We'll get to that.
No, we won't.
No, we won't.
No, we're never going to get to the end of this.
No. But we'll talk about it because freaking Coliseum did it. And XD, I don't know if XD had double battles in every single fight. I don't remember. But Coliseum had double battles in every single fight, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I forget the side games exist.
The side games are
majority of the time.
Well, the side games are usually better.
I always forget about them as well.
Yes, but they're so good. They're
I'm
almost
not saying they're bad.
The side games are almost always fantastic.
Yeah. It's funny because like some of the other side games, like Pokemon Snap, and now with new Pokemon Snap, like I adore that.
They're
game.
They're fun.
It's not even really a Pokemon game. It's just an on-rail shooter, but with Pokemon, and I adore it. But then like the actual Pokemon gamers, like you know Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Coliseum, or like
Stadium's great.
What's the Gale of Darkness XD? What is that?
XD Gale of Darkness.
Right. Yeah.
Which is the sequel to Coliseum.
Yeah. XD Gale of Darkness, stuff like that. Like, I know that people like those games. I never really played them all that much. So I forget they exist.
They're really good. They need some significant like changes. Like the roster blows. Coliseum has like 70 Pokemon.
Yeah. We're never going to get those games now because part of what Game Freak thinks made those games so exciting was that they were in 3D and they had 3D models, and
not the fact they had an interesting plot and like cool elements, and every battle was double battle and a cool main
and
character.
That every now that every game is in 3D, that's not as special.
No one cares about the side games.
Yeah,
it's all about the mainline games.
All about the mainline games. All right, what's the next game?
Oh, sorry.
Seven?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Gen 7.
Gen 7. So Gen 7, highly controversial.
Yeah.
So in terms of... I don't know, probably. In terms of Mon design...
probably.
In terms of Mon design and in terms of balance, I think it's one of the best gens that way. In terms of story, the pacing is like abysmal. Like everyone jokes about it. It's like a tutorial simulator and... it's like there's like a 1 trillion cutscenes before you can even do anything, and like it's the truth. It kills. The
whole first island is even.
I mean, I had fun with the game because of like a lot of the designs were really fun, and a lot of the new held items were fun. But like, yeah, wow, I tried to play Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon after Sun and Moon. And I just could not do it. Could not.
It's even worse.
It's even worse. There's more cutscenes.
I couldn't believe that they made it even worse. Like, how did you do that?
Why would they do that?
Yeah, no. I agree that the Pokemon design...
Hey, Ryan, your mic also kind of, like, died.
Did it?
We're losing you, Ryan.
There you go. There, you're back.
And I'm back, baby. Yeah, the Gen 7 designs were really good, which is, you know, a reoccurring theme.
Charjabug? Charjabug's my boy! Woo!
Charjabug is friggin' sweet.
I friggin' love Charjabug.
Bug Bus is my favorite.
He's definitely, like, one of my favorites. I love him. And whatever. I don't even remember the name of this.
I loved Decidueye. He's
Decidueye's sweet. Cool. Incineroar is also pretty fun, even though he's just, you know, fire fighting again.
No.
Sorry,
no,
fire dark. Fire dark. Definitely not a fighting type, even though he's a wrestler. Yeah.
You know, I promise you at this point, Game Freak's just, they're just doing this on purpose to troll us. They did 3 gens of fire fighting. I know. On purpose, they did that because they thought it was funny, and they were like, "All right," and then we're gonna get them with the Incineroar, and they're gonna think it's gonna be a fighting type, because it absolutely should be.
But it's dark.
But it's dark.
What's dark about him?
JK, guys.
He has some black fur. That's what makes him dark.
No, no, it's because he's a heel. He's a wrestling heel. So like, they're always like the dark characters in the wrestling world, like the villains, which is the joke or the point. But
oh, really?
I don't think a lot of people know that, so they don't understand why he is a dark.
I didn't get it. Wrestler means fighting to me. So. I mean,
yeah, it's just he's a dark wrestler. Like, that's the thing. He's a villain wrestler.
He should be a dark fighting type and not be a starter then.
You know what? That actually makes more sense, him being a dark fighting type. I'm not going to lie. That's a better idea. Wait a second. I've never thought of that.
Yeah, make a new fire starter.
Yeah. How'd you feel about Ultra Beast designs?
I like the JoJo Ultra Beasts, and that's about it.
Which one's the JoJo Ultra Beast?
The bug?
Buzzwole.
The bug. Buzzwole.
Buzzwole.
The lobster bug thing?
Yeah, it's Buzzwole.
The Ultra Beasts are weird, but I kind of like that because they're supposed to be for like different dimensions and different worlds, so they shouldn't really look like regular Pokemon because they're not. So them being so weird fits what they're going for. But I'm really glad they don't have a lot of designs that look like that, because I wouldn't say they're bad designs, but they're super weird.
Yeah, that definitely allows them to take like some interesting, you know, like Pokemon designs seem to have like some sort of structure and rule set like around them. I couldn't tell you what they are, but it definitely seems like the Ultra Beast break all of them. And so they're definitely like, you look at that and you're like, that's not what Pokemon normally looks like. But in one hand, it's like weird, but it's also interesting and cool. So I would agree that I think that they're fun, and I wouldn't even mind them doing more Ultra Beasts. I just, obviously, if we did a whole game of Ultra Beasts, I'd be like, well,
that would be awful.
We're losing some of the charm here, you guys. Part of what makes them special is that there aren't a lot of them, even though when I played the game, it felt like there were lots of Ultra Beasts, but when I'm looking at the list now, there's not that many.
Are there like 9?
There's not.
There
much.
Are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Oh, okay.
Because Ultra Sun and Moon added 4.
I just can't count.
They really only added 4? Wow.
In Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, yes, I think so. They added the weird...
Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon feels fortress. Like a joke, by the way.
Because it's inferior to Sun and Moon in basically every regard. It's impressive how bad that I don't want to say sequel because it's not technically
a sequel. Even a sequel. It's like a retelling.
The retelling, even you know, like, you know, different dimensional take or whatever. It's terrible.
Black and White 2 was at least a sequel, and then you got to see like where the characters ended up and stuff. Like you can see where Bianca and what was the name? Chair.
Trying to remember
because they like the name of a male character and they have new designs.
Yeah, they age, and then the one dude becomes a gym leader, which is really cool.
Yeah, you get to see like how the region's progressed over the last couple of years.
Yeah, it's an actual sequel, and there's interesting. And then they had added like a dumpster load of post game content where you could fight literally every single gym leader, Elite Four member, anybody in existence from the entire game.
Yeah, and they all had like new updated sprites and stuff.
Yeah, it's insane. That's the coolest part about Black and White 2.
That was super fun.
And I don't know, what did they do in Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon? Never made it to Endgame.
Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon is like, so they took the pacing of Sun and Moon and they were like, let's do that
slower.
Let's take that story again, but we'll make it somehow worse. And then we're going to add all this very unsatisfying and confusing post-game stuff. And I just remember getting to the end and thinking about like how like we had Oraz and Delta episode and how great that was and how this was probably what they thought that they were doing again. I'm like, this ain't it, Chief. This isn't as cool.
And they also give you like, I think, what is it? The wormholes, which give you every legendary in existence, right?
That's in Oraz.
The Ultra Wormholes?
Oh, so
Oras, they did also give you every legendary in existence.
They gave you the ring wormholes to get.
They're doing that in like every game now, where they give you every freaking legendary for free, essentially.
Yeah, real legendary.
Yeah,
they're more common.
Sword and Shield does it. Sword and Shield does it kind of interesting, which we can talk about when we get there. But yes, they are generally kind of every gen. They have to give you access to every Pokemon in some way, and usually the final game introduced that gen is backloaded with lots of legendaries.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, you like go and you fight like a special, you fight Rainbow Rocket, which is the dumbest name.
Dumbest idea.
Team Rainbow Rocket.
Team Rainbow Rocket.
Why is it not just Team Rocket?
because shut up. Anyways, then you fight Team Rainbow Rocket and it's not even like cool or interesting or satisfying, even though they're bringing back old characters. It's just dumb. And I don't even remember what happens at the end because
I don't either. That's the funny thing.
That was how little of an impact it had on me. I was like, well, that was over. Thank God.
I just remember being angry because
I'm angry.
Like, people don't like Gen 7 in general, but which is weird because I enjoy it, but not because of really like the Pokemon gameplay or anything, but I actually enjoy the narrative of Gen 7. The pacing is awful. It is extremely bad.
So bad.
The first 10 hours of that game is straight up just handholding simulator to the extreme. But the actual narrative of Team Skull and the Aether Foundation, and like where you're not really the main character, Lily is definitely the main character, and it's like her story and like her journey of like becoming a better person, and like, I shouldn't say better person, like becoming an adult really, and like her doing this journey with you. That's a really good narrative. And I enjoyed pretty much every second of it. And I hate Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon because it takes everything that was good about that story, throws it in the trash, and it's like, I don't know, wormholes, Rainbow Rocket, I don't know, who cares? And it's like, why? How did you make the story worse? You had an actual good narrative, and then you just, you trashed it, Game Freak. What is wrong with you?
I don't, it's baffling. I will, that does remind me though that Team Skull, we were trashing on Team
Skull, sweet like, though
the worst, but Team Skull's pretty great.
They're definitely the best because they're just bunch of like,
love Team Skull.
They're so fun.
Yeah,
they're stupid such dance dorks. I love it.
Yeah, no, it's
our boy Guzma.
It's your boy.
It's Guzma, baby.
My favorite joke in all of Sun and Moon is that when Guzma's expression changes, the expression on his sunglasses changes too, and that kills me. It's so stupid.
Yeah, it's great.
He also has the Glaceopod, which is like the coolest bug type to ever exist.
Yeah, that's sick. That's another great design from that gen. I also just wanted to bring up, this is the only gen that doesn't do gym battles or traditional gym battles. We do
trials or whatever.
which in my opinion weren't very good, but I very much so appreciated the attempt of trying something different, and I want them to keep doing stuff like
I like
that.
Them, yeah.
But I thought that the, I don't think that they were particularly fun. I just, but I was like, I like that they're doing something other than just gym battles. Like, gym, we've done so, we've had so many gym battles. We do eight battles, gym battles.
At least eight.
And we're at least eight, sometimes yeah. more. And we're at, we're on Gen 7. So we're due for a change. I've done a lot of gym battles. I'm ready for something. This wasn't it, but you know, try something new. Keep doing that until keep throwing stuff at the wall until something sticks.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty fun though. Some of them at least.
I will say that the actual some like, of the battles with the giant Pokemon were like those could get actually those actually could get a little
yeah, because they had like sub Pokemon. So you're doing 1v2 or 3 sometimes.
Well, they actually had tactics because you had things like
the Yungoose or whatever. The mon-
Oh no, it's the Mimikyu. Mimikyu's fight.
Mimikyu's fight was
that was good. All, yeah,
it would do.
That was when I was doing all
sword
ghosts.
Stance. I think.
Oh shoot! Yeah,
I think it did sword stance because obviously Mimikyu has the thing where like its first hit, it doesn't take damage. So like it basically got a free sword stance, and it would just do play rough and just delete you.
Play rough will delete you.
Which was and they had like smart. They had inflated stats because they were like a big Pokemon and. So I guess I should say the process because they had like you always had like the trial to get to that Pokemon. The fight itself was like challenging and that was cool and I liked that.
The trial process too, was of like getting a there puzzle or like a not a quote unquote puzzle but like a you know like one of them funny little story things you had to do.
Sometimes you have a puzzle where you're running around and you're making something for that grass gym leader, and then sometimes you go up to a volcano and you have to spot the difference between two pictures and it's
the pictures, yeah.
And that was cut and that was funny, like that was cute. I had a good laugh, but it wasn't like I don't know.
It's not it's not like real gameplay, but it was. It wasn't. It was cute.
Before we move on, we should talk about the Z moves. I think Z moves were a huge downgrade from Megas. I think what they wanted to do was they wanted to give like the Mega thing to pretty much everybody, so they came up with Z moves.
And then and they proceeded.
I think Z moves are really
special Z moves.
Yeah, and I think they're pretty boring. Because essentially, what a Z move is, it essentially just turns into a kill move.
It's like a move, but it takes a long time to watch, and it gets old really fast.
There's some really like Final Fantasy.
It gets really old really fast, and like I get to the point where I have to turn off animations for battles because I get tired of them. And Z moves, I don't even remember if that turned it off for Z moves. It probably did. But if it didn't, that would be really funny and make me angry. But the whole thing of Z moves is like it's supposed to be a big flashy move, and it's like I don't feel like sitting. Like it's fun to watch the first three times, if that, and then after that, I'm like, all right, well, I'm kind of done with these. And to the point where I wouldn't use them because I'm like I don't want to sit through it.
Yeah, me too.
I will say that they did. They had status moves. They would give the status moves. You could use those as Z moves, and those would have like weird, interesting effects. And I thought that was super interesting.
Z Splash was a better sword stance. That was cool. Yeah. And I used Z Splash on because the grass Pokemon Bounce, or I think it was Bouncy or something like that.
Bouncy.
Mm-hmm. Bouncy. Right. So Bouncy starts out with Splash, and I kept Splash the entire time for her upgraded. Evolution Serena, and so you could do Z Splash to upgrade your attack three times, then use Trop Kick, which was her special grass physical move, and
Kick was so good.
It would melt people. That was so fun. And so like in those situations it was cool, but like 90% of the time it was a kill move.
Yeah,
when you would have
it was like again it almost feels like not quite a fully fleshed out idea. It was almost like they were gonna do like a whole game about it.
They did a whole game about
Pokemon
it.
Z, and then they just didn't.
Pokemon Z move.
Man.
Anyway.
I really want to know what happened with that.
Yeah.
Because I'm very curious.
So
you guys are missing the most important part, though. Gen 7 got rid of HMs.
Got rid of HMs.
Yes.
Yeah, totally.
We moved.
It was
on,
the best part. So you had the freedom of your team now. You didn't have to mess with your team at all.
Yeah.
To have HMs or deal with that. That was the best part. But it was bogged down by all the cutscenes. That would have taken your time of moving around with the HMs anyway. So,
it's true.
You get some, you lose some.
Yeah.
There's got to be a modded version out there that just gets rid of all the cutscenes completely.
Oh, there probably is.
That'd be so good. Because I think if that was the case, then I think it'd be one of the best games in the series.
It is problematic. It has major issues. But
I don't have any issues with I don't have that many issues with that besides the Z moves being what they are. And then the cutscenes. Other than that, because they have so many Pokemon, they have so many freaking held items.
Yeah.
So many unique abilities. Because the abilities start getting really weird now, too.
Yeah. And, Island Trials.
Like the Wishiwashi? Wishiwashi's cool.
We're actually challenging and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
The trials are different. Plus, I like Alola. Hawaii is an idea for a region, which just.
That was a great idea.
It's a great idea. I loved it.
Multiple islands. I thought that was good. Even though they're all they're just circles.
Yeah, effectively. Yeah.
I think it was still fun. I don't think that was bad at all.
Yeah, no, I would agree. And they completely embraced that aesthetic and the.
Yeah, I think they rocked it.
They just went all in on it. They're like, nope, this is our Hawaii and we're going to. Show the culture and represent the culture, I suppose I should say, and the Pokemon designs reflect that and
totally.
And all that. It's very cool. It's that's what I would like to see from Pokemon when they go into a region that's
kind of stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. Just go all in on it.
All right. So let's move on to the last one we got right now, as of time of recording.
The Gen 8. Chad's End.
The Gen 8 Sword and Shield. I guess soon to be Shining Diamond, Brilliant Pearl, or opposite.
It's weird that those are in the same gen because they look totally different.
I think they're in the same gen. Do we count Let's Go?
Yeah, I was Let's about Go to bring up be, Let's Go. I
think Let's Go is technically the beginning of Gen 8.
I think I'd rather consider that a side game. Just because of how different it is.
I haven't played it, so I have no idea.
Do they remove EVs and IVs? So they don't have like a
true Gen 1 successor.
It is the true Gen 1 successor, except it's weird. I think let's just consider that a side game, not count it for now because of how
many talk about that one.
Well, they change so much.
I mean, it's effectively a console version of Pokemon Go.
Kinda, yeah. Let's ignore that for now. Anyway, well, let's talk about Sword and Shield. So Sword and Shield, I did not like. I was on the negative end of this controversy, mostly because it felt like a press A simulator where you kind of just walk through, you press A to kill the thing and
hold forward spam A, and you'll be Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Every single route, there was no exploration on the route. Really. I mean, I like the designs, as I've been saying with most of the gens. I think they're pretty good about adding new designs. I think Corviknight's sweet.
You'd have to kill me to get rid of Corviknight.
Corviknight's so cool.
I love Corviknight so much.
Corviknight and Talonflame are the coolest first bird things you meet ever. Those two together define wow, they can actually make the generic bird cool.
Yeah, Gen 8 has, looking through the list, a lot of just, I'm like, none of these Pokemon, I'm like, oh, I like all of them.
They're all cool. Which I think is Gen 8's strongest thing, is that its designs were just solid. They were so good. They knocked it out of the park for Gen 8. I honestly can't think of a design off the top of my head where I don't like it.
Definitely awesome.
The legendaries were a little uninspired, but
Oh gosh.
You're right.
They were bad.
Holy crap, how did I forget about that? I hate those legendaries. I never, the stupid deer thing too with the fucking big brain. I hate that design so much. It's the worst legendary design at me.
Big brain.
So dumb.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like the pacing wasn't bad. It was just boring the entire way through, I feel.
They don't have you do anything.
You don't do anything. Really. Like,
there's nothing.
Literally,
there's no story.
There's one point
where
like a bomb goes off in the tower of the central city, and I think Leon's like, he's like, yeah, let the adults go take care of that. You go do your own thing, okay?
Your children go do your. Children.
It was so weird. Like,
I get what they were going for on that because like, you are supposed to be a kid. You're what, 10 years old, 11 years old.
Yeah, but they
and
always
so, like
let
having.
You do it.
But having the kid do that, it's like be seen as being like, oh, hey, like we're encouraging kids to go off and like, you know, investigate things that they shouldn't investigate.
No, no.
And
one,
I understand that.
No,
you don't want
that.
People to like, you don't want kids to go out and do that. But it's a freaking video game. Let the player do something cool, please. Oh, my God.
You don't do anything. Like even like the Punk City, which was supposed to be cool where Piers is. It's a hallway. It's literally just a hallway. Yeah,
it's a backdrop, essentially.
You fight three trainers and then you fight Piers. And that was it.
Yeah. And much like the Pokemon, I like a lot of the, like the towns. I think the designs of the towns are cool, but
yeah,
there's nothing to do in them. And there's not a lot to explore. Like a lot of the old gens have, they're very,
it's weird.
Like there's like three buildings and you can only go in two of them.
In the open
one
part.
Of them's a Pokey. One of them's a Pokemon, Pokey's
center or whatever. Pokey center, Mark combo. Center.
Yeah. And it's just, it is. It's frustrating because I'm like, this is really cool and I want to do something.
And then the wild area is such a cool idea where it has just like, you know, a bunch of Pokemon running around. You can kind of explore and find items, but like there isn't really much there. It's kind of just like a blank area with like a biome that changes in an instant.
Yeah.
You find some items in there. And so like, that's the coolest part, but like they're just, it's underwhelming.
I think the DLC definitely handled
the
new wild area.
The DLC wild area is way better.
You see, I didn't play the DLC.
Yeah, and that DLC, I was like, oh, maybe the next gen won't be as bad. Maybe we'll have something, but we'll see.
Yeah,
those DLCs. I mean, the story still wasn't great in either of those DLCs, but gameplay wise, I remember having more fun in those than I did the main story.
And freaking Dynamax. I feel like Dynamax is worse than Z move. It's just like
Dynamax.
Because you got to Dynamax your Mon, which takes forever to do. And then you essentially have not an invincible Mon, but like something that can kill the entire enemy team for three turns. Like it's really boring.
Well, it took the worst aspects of Mega Evolutions and took the worst aspects of Z moves and smashed them together. And they're like, yeah, this is great.
And like some of the Gigantamax designs are fine, but like I can't think of like the Gigantamax designs. I feel like are generally like more boring than the.
I think about the Gigantamax designs. The only one that comes to mind is Fat Pikachu, because they brought back Fat.
Sentascorch gets really long. Alcremie gets a big old cake.
Big old cake.
Because I like Sentascorch a lot, and the long Sentascorch is cool and all, but like it's not that exciting. Grimmsnarl gets really big.
it's a
Gigantamax, but he gets really big and tall and like lengthy.
Eevee like is fluffier, and they do fluffy. The long cat mean with Meowth for some reason, and
that was bizarre.
That was weird. I like that though, but
that was like probably like the more like that's bizarre that you would do that, but like more interesting than what you did with some of these other guys, but. Yeah, I take great comfort in knowing that they constantly say throughout the game, Dynamax and Gigantamax is only possible in this region. So they're telling us ahead of time it's never coming.
Thank
back.
Goodness, yeah.
Thank goodness, because I will
luckily,
not miss it.
You can bring your super mega Eviolite or mega stones to other gens though, so that's there. Cool.
Well, megas we don't have them in Sword and Shield, but
I know we don't, which is sad, but it's dead.
Although we got them in Let's Go for some reason.
We did get them in Let's Go. I don't freaking know. I felt like they were slowly waning us off of it, but you know, whatever.
Machinations of their minds are an enigma.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, Gen 8, kind of underwhelming. Story was pretty slow, mediocre.
Pretty banger in Gen 8.
Your mic died again.
The music in Gen 8 was pretty good.
Music was great. I mean, music is great in every gen, so I'm not going to
I feel like, especially in Gen 8, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I like all these songs.
It was good. But yeah, I mean, I feel like they definitely need to improve on the formula somehow, and that's what we're going to talk about next time.
Yeah, this has suddenly become a two-parter because
We had to make
discussing all of the issues and all of the basically pros. All the pros and cons of the series, and then discussing how other series have done it better or like how we could fix it is kind of a big topic.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So I mean, if you followed us all the way through here, don't forget to, you know, follow us and make sure that you tune in next time, because next time we're going to be dishing out the real facts on how to make this series better, and, you know, even looking at some of the side series on what they did right.
It'll be exciting.
It's gonna be great. So, see you then.
Adios.